I'm looking forward to the day when Jesus comes. And I believe God has given us a little bit of open window in these last days. You know, in the history of Israel, just before he had pronounced judgment on them because they had rebelled so against him, but God raised up a king, and under that king, they had revival just before they went into captivity. And I've been talking to some other pastors, and Brother Ralph Sexton Jr. is one. And he kind of believes that too, that God, and these are the last days, that God's given us a little window here, and we're going to see God do great things. We already have, and I'm glad you're a part of it. I'm glad God let me be a part of it, that we'll see in these last days God do something very special. I've often said I don't believe God brought the church into existence at Pentecost with a bang and let it go out with a fizzle, amen. I believe we're going to see God do great things, and I believe this is the year. Like I preached over at Coach during the watch night service, open your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter number 11. Luke chapter 11. I want you to look. I have known in my life some wonderful prayers. That is, people who pray. We've got some in this church who are great intercessors, and many of you pray, and people who have a real burden to pray. Brother Sammy prays, and he challenged us. God laid on his heart this passage I'm going to read to you. And that's why you see the little signs around. Lord, teach us to pray. And then Brother Wayne Warren, who comes up. Brother Wayne's a prayer warrior. Every morning, somewhere around 4:30, Wayne Warren is in the woods somewhere praying for you, praying for this church, and praying for this preacher every day, not just for us, but for others. Brother Wayne Warren is a prayer warrior. People call him all over. And then when you go through the Bible, there are tremendous examples of great prayers in the Bible. I mean, you think about Moses. Moses was unique. The Lord said, Moses, nobody like Moses in the world, meekest man on the face of the earth. And he said, yet I've done something for him I've done with nobody. He said, I've spoken to him face to face. Now, I've had wonderful times in prayer when I felt God so close, I felt like I could touch him. He's real. But I've never seen his face. But he said, I spoke to Moses face to face. Boy, he's a great prayer warrior. He prayed for that nation. And many a time, the Bible says that God was right ready to just destroy them. And yet Moses interceded for them and prayed for them. And he was a good Baptist pastor. And then there was time he wanted God to kill him. And then God said, no, I'm not going to kill him. You know, but they were God's people. But Moses interceded and prayed for them. Then I think about Samuel. Oh, he prayed for his nation and prayed for those people. And they pleaded with him, please pray for us. He said, God forbid that I should sin and not praying for you. He felt like not praying was a sin. And I tell you, God's a blessing. I can just sense the presence of God. And I know it's because you're praying and God's people are praying. And we don't want to quit. It's going to be greater prayer all through this year. And then I think about Elijah in the Bible. Oh, great man of God, great prophet of God. And he prayed. The Bible said he prayed and it didn't even rain for 3 years. I mean, and then he prayed again and God sent the rain. God heard and answers the prayers of Elijah. And then when you come to the New Testament, so many great examples of prayer warriors in the New Testament. And you go through and look at the disciples and all. And then and look at the life of the Apostle Paul. Oh, what a burden he had of praying and how he challenged those that were saved to pray. He was a great example. He said, you know, be followers of me. Why? And they did. And he prayed. And his heart cried in John chapter 10. God, he said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that it might be saved. He had such a burden in prayer that God's people, Israel, would be saved. But I think the greatest example of prayer in the Bible is the Lord Jesus Christ. When you study his life and you look at it, the greatest example of prayer. And you know what? Kind of, I know people sometimes that they are active in church and they are busy in church and ministries and sing and preach or teach or whatever and in all the ministry of church. And yet they don't pray like they ought to. And they often confess that they don't pray. But you know, here's the Lord Jesus Christ. And keep in mind now that Jesus Christ is God incarnate in human flesh. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the eternal Son of God. He's always been. God made him, the Father made him a body and he lived in a body. But his life was a life of prayer. It was a life of prayer. Not just he had a prayer life, but he had a life of prayer. He prayed. And in the beginning of his life in ministry here on earth, he prayed. And the Bible, he went into the temples to pray. He went along to pray. I was looking through, just looking at a few things about him in the Bible. I thought about when he came up to the tomb of Lazarus, his friend. They had sent for him. Lazarus was sick, nigh to death. And he waited around and he arrived 4 days after he'd already been dead. And he stood at the grave and he prayed this prayer. He said, Father, I want to thank you that you hear me. And I know that you've always heard me. But now I ask for your glory that you might resurrect life. What a confidence to live that God the Father always hears you. And that promise is to you and me and every one of us. And then I think about how he prayed for those who touched their eyes and they were healed and all those things. All of his ministry prayed. And then when it comes right down to the end of it, the Bible says that on that night in which he's betrayed, he took the bread and he gave thanks. He prayed and he broke it. He took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave the cup. He prayed on the night he was betrayed. What an example. Knowing he was going to be killed in just a matter of hours. And then the Bible says he went into the garden and he prayed and his prayer was so intense. The Bible says it was like great sweat drops of blood that fell from his brow. What an example of prayer. And what an example of resignation to the will of God. He prayed, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless not my will, but thine be done. That's real praying. And then I thought about this. The last words he said on this earth before he died was a prayer. Do you remember that? He had said all those things from the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And today thou shalt be with me in paradise, he said to that thief. And all those others, he cried, I thirst. Then he cried to God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But the last thing he said from the cross was this, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. His physical earthly ministry began bathed in prayer, practiced in prayer, ended in prayer on the cross when he prayed. Now, in John 17, he prayed what we call the great high priestly prayer. It's a lengthy prayer that's there. As he prayed for me and you, prayed for all those disciples. He prayed and he said, Father, I pray not that thou would take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from the evil. And then he goes on, and this is what blesses me. And he said, I pray not only for these, but for all those who shall believe because of their words. That's me and you. When you read the gospel, you're you got saved, you're an answer to the prayer of our Lord. When he prayed that those who hear the word of God and hear the words of these preachers, the apostles, that when they hear it, I pray, God, that they'll be blessed. Boy, God answered that prayer when he saved me. And every time I read the Bible and God speaks to me and he blesses me, and every time I'm able to share something from you from the Bible, and every time you read the Bible and it blesses you, the Father's answering that prayer of his Son many years ago when he prayed when he was on the earth. Father, I pray that you'll bless them that believe on me through their words. He heard that prayer. But here in John chapter 11, I'm not going to read all of it. I know our time's just about gone. But this whole chapter, or a large portion of this chapter, he's dealing with the matter of prayer. But I do want to begin with verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, they observed him praying often. But there were times, like when he fed the 5,000, I was going through the Bible and I was noting that seemed like every time there was a major, major miracle, something unusual happened right after it. When he fed the 5,000 with the 5 loaves and 2 little fishes, and they had 12 baskets full left over, the Bible said he withdrew himself and went out to pray alone. And then in the New Testament, when he performed another great miracle, the Bible said he withdrew himself and went into a mountain to pray. It seemed like that every time he had a great victory, he went off to pray. And I guess if you've been serving the Lord any time, you know why. Because just as soon as God blesses and you have a great victory, well, the devil's going to get on top of you. I mean, he won't wait till dark either to do it. He'll be right on you. And the Lord learned that you pray for God to do great things, but then after God does great things, you need to get alone with God and pray. Thank him for doing that, but then pray that he'll continue to work and bless. But here in this passage of Scripture, they've observed all that praying, and they say this, one of them watched him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And not how to pray, but teach us to pray. He wanted the practice of prayer. And he gives these words, and he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Then he begins with a parable. And he says this, how many of you who had a friend, if he'd come to you at midnight and say, I've had some guests to come to my house and I have nothing to sit before them, how many of you would give them bread? And then he goes on, he said, so your heavenly Father, when you have a need, he'll meet your need. And then he goes on and talks another parable in regard to that. He talks about the father and he says, Father, he said, how many of you, if a child asks you bread, if you would give him a stone or a fish, would you give him a serpent or an egg? Would you give him a scorpion? And he said, if you being earthly or human know how to be a blessing to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father bless you if you ask him? And so the greatest example of prayer in the Bible is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've just read to you a passage of scripture. I'm going to pray and I'm going to share with you just a few things real quick that God, that you, when you look at the life of Christ, you ought to gain from his prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God to help. God, I pray, God, thank you for the wonderful singing of the congregation and the choir. Thank you for Brother Brad, for his heart and love for you, and God, for the choir who's so faithful to come and practice and bless us this morning. Thank you, our Father, for Kylie this morning, for Cabot this morning. And Lord, I thank you for blessings through that. Lord, you have been so good to all of us. And Lord, thank you for Ms. Angie, for her life and testimony, for why she loves you and serves you. And Lord, for that great song. Lord, one of these days we'll lay every burden, every care down, and you'll carry us away. What a blessed thought. Now, Lord, I pray you'd speak to our friends in the building and in the radio audience and in the internet audience today. And God, I know that you already have. God's touched now and speak in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to just share a few things with you real quick. This is Greater Prayer Month, but this is not the end. This is the beginning of a whole year of greater prayer. And I've tried to emphasize this over and over again to you. When the disciples said, teach us to pray, he said, you pray like this. And if you know the Sermon on the Mount, he gave the same basic prayer with some other at the end. But I want to emphasize what's here this morning. First of all, prayer has more to do with your relationship to the Father than anything else. Understand that prayer is the approach of a child to an all-knowing, all-loving, all-powerful Father. I mean, when you've got a need, when you've got a burden, when you pray, anytime you pray, he said, you pray our Father. You're approaching your Father. He wants you to be reminded. He is God of creation. He is God eternal. He is God omniscient. He knows everything. He's God omnipotent. He has all power. He's God omnipresent. He's everywhere. But when you approach him, you're not approaching him as that great, sovereign, holy God. He is that. But you approach him in a wonderful relationship. You're his child. If you've been saved by the grace of God, and he's promised to meet those needs of his children, and I want to remind you what a wonderful privilege it is to pray. Oh, what we forfeit when we don't take everything to God in prayer. You're approaching him as your Father, and you come to him. Now, how does he get to be your Father? You say, well, I believe in the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. All the way around the world, we just all win. No, the Lord said to a group of people, he said, you're of your father, the devil. And the Bible said, we are by nature the children of wrath, not the children of God. And the only way you get to be in relationship with him is to be born again by the grace of God. And he becomes your Father when you get saved. That's where your prayer life begins, when you are saved. And prayer is based on the relationship of a father and a son. The Lord Jesus Christ said, look, Father, I'm thankful you always hear me. And I'm going to tell you that promise is to every born-again believer who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, from the smallest to the largest. And I tell you, we are thankful that children can approach him as a father. You say, well, Brother Billy, they don't know much. They know their father. They know who you are. You've had children. I've watched these children around here. I mean, they don't even have to be able to put a whole sentence together, and they get just about anything they want to out of you, mom and dad, before they can even vocalize. They know, and they know, and they learn that they can depend on you. And my dear friend, from the very beginning of getting saved, you can know what it is to talk to your Father. And prayer is a relationship with your Father. You can't have that unless you're born again. You may be in this building this morning, and you know He's God. You know this is the Bible. But if you've never been saved, you don't have that Father-Son relationship. And what a privilege we forfeit when we don't take everything to God in prayer. We come to Him and He said, you pray like this, our Father. Oh, isn't that a blessed thought? To have a Father that knows you, loves you, cares for you. He is in heaven. And you approach Him. And prayer, my prayer and your prayer is based on that relationship. Can I say to you, my dear friend, if you don't know Him as Savior, He wants to be your Father. He wants to be your daddy. I've shared the story with you many times about the young man who got saved across the street over there. One of our church families took he and his girlfriend in. She was expecting a baby. They were not married. And took them in and housed them and got them coming to church. And over in the old building, she got saved not long after she got to coming. And then he was coming and everybody was being kind to them, helping them in so many ways, and he wouldn't get saved. Anyhow, long story, last night of vacation Bible school, that lady member of our church came to me and she said, Brother Billy, will you go talk to him one more time? I talked to him until I was blue in the face. But I went back that night and I talked to him. I was a little bit angry with him. And I talked to him. I said, man, listen, have I done something to keep you from getting saved? And he shook his head. I said, in our church, is anybody in this church that's done anything? Or do you know anybody in our church that you look and you think they're a hypocrite and that's the reason you don't get saved? And he shook his head. And I said, well, man, listen, people love you and they've done nothing. And you know the gospel, you've heard the gospel. Your wife got saved and they got married by then. Why don't you get saved? And he hung his head and he murmured something. And I then kind of got in the flesh. And I looked at him and I said, man, look at me. Talk to me. I can't understand what you're saying. And he looked at me and he said, I'm mad at God. I said, why are you mad at God? He said, every time I come in this church and I see a daddy and a mama come in, and they have their little children with them, and they seem so happy, I get mad at God. Every time I see a daddy pick up his boy, or hug his boy, I get mad. He said, I've never had a daddy. He said, I don't have an idea who my daddy is. He said, as long as I can remember, my mama had one man after another in our house. When I was 9 years old, my mama had a boyfriend living with us. And he really didn't like me. He was mean to me. One day, Mama told me, said, come on, let's go take a ride. I'm going to take you to town, buy you something. He said, I got in the car with my mama, and she drove me to Raleigh, North Carolina, and pulled up on one of the side streets there and opened the door and said, let's get out right here. And he said, I jumped out all excited about what Mama was going to buy me. When I got out of the car, she reached and took the door handle and closed the door and drove off and left me on the streets of Raleigh. He said, I lived a homeless life from the time I was 9 years old. I slept on top of a building. He showed me later a building he slept on top of. When he got old enough and big enough, he drug an old mattress up. He's afraid of getting killed at night in the park, and he slept on top of a building in Raleigh. And he said, I just always wanted a daddy, and God wouldn't let me have one. I didn't know what to say to the boy. My heart was broke by then. And I looked at him, I said, son, God wants to be your daddy. And boy, God, the Holy Ghost used that. He broke down just immediately. And I said, he wants you to be born again. He wants to be your daddy. He won't never beat you. He won't never abuse you. He'll always be there. He'll love you, and he'll keep you safe and meet every need you get. He trusted Christ as Savior. You ever felt like you just really needed somebody to love you no matter what? It's Him. Ever needed somebody that you go to, and whatever the need was, you know that they could meet it? It's Him. You ever needed somebody that you wanted to go to that knew the answer to every question you have? It's Him. He's your Father. He said, listen, if you being human, you being earthly, know how to give, how much will your Heavenly Father give to them that ask Him? Prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ was based on His relationship with the Father. And your relationship with Christ, your relationship with the Father is the basis of your prayer life. He's your Father, and He loves you. And then I note two or three other things here just real quick. In this little prayer He gave him, when you approach Him in prayer, it'll be an attitude of worship. When you approach Him, He said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We approach Him in worship, and magnifying Him and glorifying Him. And don't approach Him blaming Him for everything that's going on around you, and why God this and why God that. First of all, first thing you do is recognize who He is. And know He loves you. things happen to families, I don't have the answers. Children die. Parents die. People die suddenly. I had a young man here the other night who's given his heart and life to reaching young people in schools, Brother Joel. His daddy was a preacher, and his mother loved the Lord. And they were starting a church up in, I forget where it was at, West Virginia, Kentucky or somewhere. And a drunk driver hit his mom and dad and killed them. I didn't have any answers for that. Nobody else has any answers for that. But God used that boy's life. Listen, you approach him every time, regardless of what's going on in your life. Worship. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. And I hasten on this morning. Not only does the Lord teach us to approach the Father in worship and adoration, but listen, the Lord always, always put the emphasis on the spiritual above the physical. He was put more emphasis on the spiritual than it did the physical. And when you come before God in prayer, as you grow in the Lord, your emphasis should be more on the spiritual things and the kingdom of God and what God's doing than just on the physical. And then our Lord teaches us this. He said, "Thy will be done." You approach God in prayer like this, you already have agreed to accept His will. Whether He gives you what you want right then, or He delays it to later, or if He chooses not to give it to you, you're going to approach Him like that. Our Lord demonstrated that ultimately in the Garden of Eden, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when He prayed and He said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless not my will, but thine be done." What an example of praying. I want this to be so. I want my loved one to be healed, but God, if you don't, I'm going to still give you praise and glory, magnify you. I remember Ms. Ella Peacock that God healed of cancer when we were in Florida. She eventually died of something else. But she was such a sweet spirit. She couldn't read one word in this Bible. And right after she got saved, she was in late 70s when she got saved, she wanted a Bible. And she said, "I want one when Jesus is talking and when it's in red." And I got her one. And I watched that old Bible as I'd go by the house visit. That Bible was just wearing away. And she couldn't read one word in it. But she said, "I pray to Him and I talk to Him." And I went by one day and she had the Bible there. And she said, "Brother Billy, I know I can't read. And you probably wonder why I don't want a Bible." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she opened it up to where it was red on both pages. And she said, "Isn't that Jesus talking?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "Well, I talk to Him all the time. And I just pray. And I talk to Him and then He talks to me." That's praying right there. That's praying. And when she was diagnosed with cancer and she was right to if they didn't do radical surgery, she wasn't going to live. God chose to heal her. I won't go into all that. But that Sunday morning when she's leaving out, she said, "Brother Bill, I was praying this morning. The Lord said, if y'all was to pray for me here at church, that He'd heal me and I wouldn't have to have the surgery on Thursday." And I took her back in a back room and had several of our folk from the church go back there. And I remember exactly what I said to her. I said, "Miss Ella, if God chooses to heal you, will you give Him all the glory?" She said, "I will." I said, "If God chooses not to heal you, will you praise Him as long as you got breath?" She said, "Oh, preacher, you know I will." And I did. And we prayed a simple prayer together and God healed that lady. But it didn't matter to her. She'd already made her mind up. If it does, I'm going to praise Him. If it doesn't, I'm going to praise Him. And God, the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ in my prayer life is this, is yours. There's things that I'd like to see Him do. If He does, wonderful. If He doesn't, whatever His will is. I've already resigned myself to that before I ever ask Him. He's the greatest example of prayer. Based on the relationship he had with the Father, based on the fact that he praised Him, the Father, "I know that you always hear me," based on the fact that he emphasized the spiritual more than the earthly, the temporal, the physical, and also the fact that he, in this passage of Scripture, he reminds us that it's the Father's will. And before you ever pray, you've already resigned yourself to that will. Just two, three other things real quick. I'm through. He also said this. His emphasis was always on now and just trust God for the future. When you study about the book of Matthew and he's going through the Beatitudes, he's your prayer life is there. Give us this day our daily bread. You say, "Well, what in the world am I going to do next week? What am I going to do after the week?" We're going to trust God. It's today. You just trust Him today. Day by day, you live in that little capsule of trusting Him today and believing Him today and worshiping Him today. It's today. God's going to bless today. You say, I don't know how, what's going to happen to Mama. She's just been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. What's going to happen? I don't have an idea. But he said, you pray like this. You pray, give us this day, today, what we need today. And I found out, you know what I found out? He'll do it every day. The Lord Jesus Christ knew that. He's God of all eternity, same yesterday, today, and forever. But when he was in this life, it was today. God, help me today. Father, help me today. God, meet the need today. God, do this today. Then I noticed this. You and I, when we pray, he taught us to pray with a definite, definite prayer request. Don't generalize so much. Get definite about your prayer life. He said, how many of you, if your son asks you for bread, or asks you for this or for that or the other, be specific. He knows you, knows your heart, but you ought to ask him. But then I'd share this with you. He taught us this, that delayed, when he gave that parable in the next part of the chapter there, he taught us that delayed answers to prayer must not discourage prayer. Some of you have been praying. I've got some things I've been praying about for years. Got things me and Regina pray about every night. I don't plan to quit. God hadn't answered the prayer yet, but I see him answering other prayers around the sides. And I'm going to just keep praying, keep on believing, and I'm going to keep believing him. Don't be discouraged. You're praying about something and God hadn't answered your prayer yet. Delayed answers are not denial. Delayed answers shouldn't discourage you. You just keep on praying. There's a little chorus that old Jack Hiles used to sing. I wish I was trying to remember it, and my memory's gone. But anyhow, something like this, keep on praying till light breaks through. Keep on praying. God will answer you. Just keep on praying. Paul writes, I would that you would pray without ceasing. The Lord Jesus Christ gave up another parable, and he said, he gave this parable that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Just keep on praying. I want to tell you, greater prayer. I want you to pray more than you've ever prayed. I want you to pray, believe in God. Pray according to God's will. And don't be discouraged if you don't see it happen. But pray yielded to him and what he wants. I'm going to tell you, fellowship with the Father. Brother Dan's here this morning. I wouldn't want to offend him for anything. Back in the back, just a few minutes, and I hadn't had a chance to visit with him as much as I wanted to, and didn't get the visitation or the funeral up in the mountains. But I heard him talking about his daddy. And the thing about it, and you're the same way with your loved ones, things come to memory. And those times that you spent with your daddy or with your mama, when the heartache has eased a little bit, those are the wonderful treasures you have. Of those encounters you had and those things, special things with your daddy or your mama or your loved one, things they said, things they did, where you laughed together and even cried together. It was those times. You don't think much about, you know, earthly things, you know, what they gave you, what they didn't give you. Sometimes that comes up. But it was those times together that meant so much. It was the laughter. It was the crying even together. But those times you had together. And I want to tell you what I learned from the Lord Jesus Christ in his prayer life. God the Father honored him and blessed him. But those times that he prayed, he said, Father, I know that you always hear me. And I can say to you this today, that when you pray to your Heavenly Father, he always hears you. And you'll treasure for the rest of your life those encounters you have with him in prayer. You may have testimonies about miracles, may have testimonies about miraculous provision of needs, but it's those times you have with him in prayer, greater prayer. I want you to pray like you've never prayed before and fellowship with him and walk with him. They said of those disciples when they perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I'm going to tell you, spending time with Jesus, spending time with the Father, makes all the difference in the world. Will you bow with me for prayer? Thank you for listening today. Oh, what a blessed privilege we have to pray. It's based on that relationship you have with him as Father and Son. father and daughter for the ladies, but we're all the children of God. It's that relationship we have with Him. It's the fellowship we have with Him in prayer. It's not a gimme, gimme, gimme prayer life He's interested. It is a glory, glory, glory prayer life He's interested in. Glory to God in the highest. This month we've emphasized greater praying. Oh, listen, God will do great things through the prayers of His people. But He'll make great people through praying. I want to challenge you. Pray. Sign up for the 24-hour prayer clock if you hadn't done it. You can sign up where somebody else has already signed up. But have specific time. I challenge you to try to pray three times a day, maybe, specifically. But then learn to pray without ceasing. Learn to have a life of prayer, not just a prayer life, but a life of prayer. And I want to say something to you here today. Oh, you can tell Him anything. You can share everything your heart's desire, every burden you've got. And He said, cast all your cares on Me. Now, what do you do at casting that? Do it in the place of prayer. Oh, what a blessing to know you can just cast all your cares on Him. And if you're here today or in the media audience, then you've never trusted Christ. You can have a relationship with Him too. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He wants to save you right now. He'll hear one prayer from you right now. It's the same prayer I preached on last Sunday. Maybe worded differently, but it amounts to this. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I know I'm lost. I know I'm a sinner. You died to save sinners. You died for me. Come in my heart and save me right now. The testimony of this great host of people in the building who know Christ would be, that's the way it happened to me. Maybe not the same words, many of them not in a church service, other places, but the situation doesn't matter. It's the brokenness of heart and the belief that Jesus bore your sin on the cross, and the wording is not all that important other than the fact that you confess that you're a sinner and that He died for your sin, He was buried and rose again, and you desire to be saved and you'll receive Him as Savior. That's the prayer He wants to hear from you today. He'll save boys and girls, men and women. Father, I pray right now the Holy Spirit of God will do the work. Thank You for the wonderful singing again today and this good, sweet spirit in the house of God. God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would deal with hearts now. Thank You for those great examples of prayer warriors over the years that I've known in my life and that we've read about in the Bible. But our Father, we want to thank You most of all for giving Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a perfect man, to be God, a perfect God, and for the great example He left us of prayer. God, help us to pray like we've never prayed before this year. Help us to meet You in prayer often, with regularity and just constantly. God, I pray You, Lord, hear and answer the prayers of Your children who seek You. You promised You would. And God, have Your way.